It is online, so we all have to do catch up. So I was wondering if he's not going to this morning even tell you guys the word that God has given him that I'm preaching on this morning. But it's amazing. We're going to really trust God to do something in our hearts. You know, there's a few things that we can't do, of which you this morning said it as well. We need God's presence. We need God to transform us. That's something that we cannot do. We cannot transform ourselves. But one thing that we can do is take ownership of our own houses. Okay, and I want to speak about that this morning. Nigel brought a word at small group, and you know, when Nigel normally brings a word, I listen. You know, it's just one of those. You know, he doesn't say a lot, but when he says something, you tend to listen. And it's normally very bold and very straight. We're going to do this. This is what the next steps will be. And he even said to me on Wednesday, so Pastor, what is the actions that we need to take out of this? So I'm very honored this morning to lay before you Nigel's sermon and to talk about something that I believe God wants us to deal with before we can go into a great war and into taking the cities for God, okay, and taking the kingdom, and that is to take ownership of our houses and to cleanse it, because there's something that is necessary for us in the church from time to time, and that is to explore our hearts, you know, before God, and it comes with relationships. It's always, you know, so fragile when we talk about relationships in church, relationships with people outside of the church, relationships at work, relationships in families, husbands and wives. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and it's a conversation about you and your husband, or it can be you and your boss. You know, it can be you and even previous people that you interacted with, and that is the thing of offense. Okay, and it's never a nice topic to talk about, but I want to trust God this morning as we do the Lord's table, that we will come before God and just be honest with ourselves. If there's anything that God wants to do in our hearts concerning relationships with people in or out of the church or in our families, let's do it this morning. Okay, as we take communion, let's clean our hearts so that we can go into the next season. You know, and I'm excited about this. You know, I know that when Nigel came to me or to us as a small group, you know, I just realized there's stuff in my heart that... So I'm not talking to you this morning as if I'm the pro in this. You know, we pick up stuff in our lives, okay? And especially with relationships. And I guess if the church can get this perfected, then we will go back to Jesus, okay? Because Jesus, even in his great anointing, was confronted with this all the time. Okay, and he was the great one to not take offense, but to even die for those who offended him. And I want to just make that straight this morning as we deal with these issues, I do understand it's always a sensitive subject, that the Lord would come and just this morning do something special in our hearts. Luke 17, verse 1, and he said to his disciples, temptations to sin are sure to come. And we know that. There's a lot of temptations around us, and there's a lot of mistakes that we are making. But woe to the one through whom they come. And it speaks especially of offenses, that offenses will come, and in other translation. And it speaks about the fact that you and I must keep our hearts clean when it comes to relationships around us. And I'm going to talk about that this morning. Now, for those of you that don't know John Sevier, Bevere, you please must read his book, Bait of Satan, and probably most of you have read that before, so I'm just reminding you of principles this morning that is beautifully laid out in that book. So please, if you can, I think there's even copies there in the bookshelf, borrow it, bring the book back, don't steal. That's another offense that I will take. people, let's deal with this, okay? I think we're sometimes too afraid to deal with, relational hurts, and then at the end, we don't come to healing, and that's what God wants to do. So we've got the encounters ahead, and I'm trusting God that these encounters will also bring the same kind of healing in our lives as we facilitate that. So, the Bible talks about offense, and Jesus mentioned that in a few places in the Gospels. But offense is the word eskalon, or skandalon, sorry, skandalon, which is a Greek word, which is actually the trap or the place where you would see the bait for a trap to actually catch a bird or something that is, to be caught. So when it speaks about this principle, in the Bible, it speaks about the fact that you and I, in our efforts in life, are always tempted by the enemy to walk into this trap of relational hurt and offense in our lives. And it's always around us, and the Bible even say here in Luke 17 that it is going to come. So I just want to say to you, you are going to be confronted with relational hurt and offenses in your life. That's not abnormal. Okay, so if there is stuff that God is working through in your heart, don't be too prideful not to work through it. Okay, so that's why I'm saying this morning, you know, that counts for me as well. But it's important that we also understand that there's no power in offense if it's not taken. Okay? You've got your house that you must clean and that you must keep clean. And offenses can only come into your heart if you allow it to come. As far as it comes to relationships, we must check ourselves in cleaning our hearts before God. You cannot put the responsibility on somebody else, or even to those who offended you, you know, keep them for the rest of their lives. And we're going to watch a video clip later on, which I really trust is going to help you just to make that transition. The fact that you and I cannot put the blame on other people and circumstances in our lives for the offenses that we've taken up. Taking up the offenses is our own choice, and we can only focus on ourselves, the things that we've done wrong, and the things that we've accepted in this life. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 8 verse 1. Now concerning food offering to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. So it's easy to build up offenses in our lives because of information that we have and certain things that we hold against other people. But it's a different thing when the church of God and the people of God start to love other people more than even the offenses that they've done against them. So this is a very important principle, because we are so easy. Okay, I can see this morning you guys are again perfect. You don't have the little books that you keep account of everyone that's around you and that's doing things wrong against you. You are amazing people. So I'm talking about the people that you can help, not you, eh? The fact is, we make lists. When we have relationships and hurt in our lives, we start to make subconscious lists that we always want to pull out, you know, when the weirdest, at the weirdest times of our lives, when we are supposed to have relationships with people. When we're supposed to actually have relational conversations, these things start to rule our lives. And we take that list out, and then we want to have a conversation. It's normally, you know, the most difficult times in our lives when we are under, okay, pressure. And I just want to say this morning, even the most ungodly person can be generous and amazing and sweet if there's not pressure in his life. The change between us and ungodly people, or the difference, is the fact that you and I must live free lives. The fact that we must make a choice to, under pressure, actually step into a victor mentality rather than a victim mentality. And that's what offenses does in our lives. When we keep things against other people, it brings us into a victimhood that binds us to those people for the rest of our lives. And it's painful. And guess what? We don't want to deal with it, because it's too painful to have even the conversation. So I want to say to you this morning, it's necessary to even pressure yourself to have that conversation, if not with yourself, at least with somebody that you can trust. And we'll be talking about that this morning as well, because sometimes we just need clarity. We need more objectivity in our lives so that we can talk about the things that's on our hearts with people that we trust. So, the important thing is to understand that offenses brings deception in our lives, okay? And the most people taking up offenses and us taking up offenses is a blind spot in our lives because we don't know that. You don't, in your circumstances, actually realize that you have an offense. And you start to act very strangely and you dictate your life over certain painful experiences in the past because you are not dealing with the issue. And so that deception brings us to that trap, that bait that allows us to be bound in such a way that we cannot do the will of the Father, but rather the will of the enemy. Listen to this, 2 Timothy 2, verse 24, 26. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness, with gentleness, with gentleness. Are you still with me this morning? With gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth. And they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Okay, can we talk about deception again? And what offenses brings into our lives? Offenses bring deception in our lives so that we don't fulfill the will of God. And the enemy can do with us as he wants. Now, can we talk about the fruit of offense quickly? The fruit of offense is pain, anger, jealousy, regret, quarrel, bitterness, hate. It brings divisiveness, broken relationships, treason, mistrust, spiritual decline. Do you know what? What's beautiful to me, and it's again this morning so evident, is that God grows us together. That God is not confused about the people that He's placing around you, that's growing with you at this stage of your life. God places you with people that can speak into your life right now. And guess what? Those are the people that you actually don't like at all. It's normally the most awkward people that in times of our lives when we need to work through the hurt, comes to us and start to unravel certain things in our lives. Is it not so? But that place is a place where you and I must leave our pride and come to a place where God can actually start to bring healing. And let's talk about healing this morning. Revelation 3 verse 18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich in white garments, so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Listen to Isaiah 48 verse 10. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. 1 Peter 1 verse 6-7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, sin hides where there's no heat. Sin hides where there's no heat. For us to be able to deal with our issues, there must be friction and a lot of heat to allow us to actually work through the issues in our lives. And this is difficult. This place of heat, you know, the refiner's fire, the one where gold is pliable, It's a place where you and I must get to the understanding that God wants to shape and form you through your circumstances and people around you. And there's people that you are facing that God is using so that you can come to a genuineness of faith. Are you with me this morning? Ooh, Pastor. It's amazing. We're going to deal with these things. And it's to come to a place where I don't blame everyone around me and for the obstacles in my life, but I'm doing self-examination. Strange how we always want to, and the tendency in our lives is to always use certain scapegoats for why we are not growing spiritually. Now, I want to say to you this morning, I want to grow spiritually. Who of you wants to grow spiritually? If we want to grow spiritually, we need to come to the maturity of faith to say, God, I want to do self-examination because I can't change people around me, but I can change whatever is happening in my life. Now I'm going to start with examining myself. Matthew 24, 10 to 13. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because of lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Galatians 6, verse 8 to 9. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us now not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. We do not give up. So we choose to enter a place of spiritual love and understanding of agape love, unconditional love, where people around us don't need to perform or do anything in order for us to love and accept them. This is a high standard. Okay, and I'm saying that this morning with fear and trembling because I know that we are not getting it right. Not one of us sitting in this room are perfect in this. But this is the standard that Jesus is bringing before us. Will you allow the kind of agape love in your life to surface so that it's not about the filial love? Remember, filial is the affectionate love. The love that I have when I coochie-coochie give you a nice hug. Okay? Ooh, eh. Some people thrive on coochie-coochie love. Okay, they want to have a pat on the shoulder. They want to have an embrace. But that's not the kind of love that I'm talking about this morning. The love that God wants us to enter into is the agape love where we oversee even the mistakes in our brothers and lives. And we allow love to actually be the victor. Now, this is difficult. Agape love means that you and I don't have any expectation for a counter performance. And I'm going to talk about that example now. Matthew 5, verse 44 to 47. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? So we put our trust in fragile people in this world, and then we get hurt, and we don't understand that agape love comes out of a place of understanding our identity and our love that God brings into our lives. So, how do we overcome offense? And this is the part that I want you to even write down this morning if you have a little paper here, or if you have a book, and we're going to do it in the small groups this week as well. So please make some notes. How do we overcome offense? We know that it's not wrong. We know that it's important to forgive people around us. But there's a few challenges that comes in when we start to forgive. And, you know, there's actually three reasons why we should forgive. The one is, let's just go to number three first before we go to number one. There's three reasons why a victim will forgive his perpetrator. The one is, good people forgive. If you want to be a good person, you must do good things. Okay, so mostly we have this tendency in our lives where we know what is the right thing to do. And in order to be the good person that God expects us to be, we know that we must forgive. The problem is that it's not that easy. That even though we walk into circumstances and broken relationships and people offending us, it's easy to say, I forgive you, but all of us know it's not that easy. All of us know that it's a process in our lives that we need to enter into so that we can receive healing in our hearts and something can change within us so that we can start to love that person in a real way. It's not just taking time, but it's also a thought process that we need to work through with God. A place where you and I must deliberately commit ourselves to come to healing. So the second one is the pressure from people to forgive. It's strange how, you know, in church circles we are the worst at this. That we put pressure on people to forgive. You must forgive. Just get it over with. Go to that person and go and sort it out. You know, don't waste more time. You know that that's the right thing to do. So go and do it. The only problem with that is that pressure to come to a place of forgiveness and to work it through with God does not allow us to actually come to a thorough healing. We need the kind of thinking through it and decision process in our lives where you and I can receive healing in a much greater way toward God. And I want to say to you, the church is full of people that are offended on behalf of others. You cannot forgive other people for things that's not being done toward you. The problem is, you know, I've seen it in family life as well. This aunt is now, you know, furious because she has heard that her other brother has, you know, said this about her, and for the rest of their lives they don't speak to one another. And it's strange how, you know, through hearsay and through, you know, third parties, we sometimes grow in our offenses because we don't allow ourselves to be confronted with the facts of what are you offended about. And we need to go and sit down and think through the process of, if I want to forgive a person, I must first decide, what do I expect that person to do to make things right toward me? And I've seen many Christians that are offended, but they just offend it because other people are offended. And so the church is this almost political organization sometimes about issues and that's out there, and it's perceptions that's growing, and especially in the day and age, and I want to talk about it because in the day and age that we are in, perceptions is everything. You know, as wrong as our friend Donald Trump is in America, I can tell you he's got something right. And that's, guys, don't just take perceptions and all kinds of things as a given. And I'm not talking about, you know, the way that he's talking toward women, that's wrong. Okay, I'm not using that case as example. But what I am saying is the world through the social media and media that we are experiencing now is ruled by perceptions. So which means that you have leaders, populists, that actually rules over nations because of perceptions that was actually just, you know, portrayed in such a way that this leader looks like he's got everything right. The avatar movement. The people that has a face, you know, that looks very nice, but behind the scenes, there's a lot of crap. There's a lot of nonsense happening on. And I just want to say to you guys, that's the reality that we are faced with. Is that perceptions is busy ruling the world. And so we take on all kinds of offenses in this day and age on behalf of other people, rather than to just get back to the principle of forgiveness, which means that if you have a problem with your brother, put your gift down at the altar and go and sort it out with him first. And so people will be offended and hurt, and you see a lot of hurt building without just going to that person and say, listen, I'm actually offended by what's happening here and what you said of me. Can we talk about it? Because forgiveness can only happen of things that happened to you. Real things. So now there's two kinds of people getting offended. It's the people that really were hurt against, and there's the people that actually just have a perception that they've been hurt against. Now, why would you be in that place? And there's many people in the church today like that. Because of the wrong information or even the wrong judgment. And that's where we need to help one another. You know, and I see in the church today the beauty of accountability that helps us to bring us to a place of transparency and healing. And if we want to overcome offenses in our lives, we must get back to the reality of a conversation of transparency. The one where you and I can come to a place of forgiveness. A place where we can actually say, God, bring healing to me. So let's get back to number one. Overcoming offense. The first one is you must overcome the past. Revenge ties you to the memory of that painful moment in the past. Woo! The problem is you're not just tied to that person, but also to the very real bad experience that you picked up through the offense that you've taken up when things got wrong against you. And so putting the past behind you means that you consciously, that's right. You consciously need to step into that place where you say, listen, I don't want to be associated with this past. I want to write a new story. I actually want to take the bad of my past and I want to rewrite the story where I'm not just going to forgive, but I'm going to see it as one of the authority scars in my life. Because those authority scars are going to be my story. And is it not amazing to see when people overcome their hurts of the past, that that becomes the authority in which they start to rule in the current life? And I want to say to you, for us to walk into the freedom and the victory that God wants us to walk in, we must first start with rewriting our story. Secondly, we must confess. And you must be specific. I've said it previously, but what is your personal damages? What is the wounds that you've been inflicted in your life from the other person? So sometimes, you know, I sit with people and then they say, listen, I'm so offended by what that person did to me. And then we have the conversation and I ask them, so what did the person do wrong against you? And this is actually something that I want you to test yourself in, and even in small groups this week, allow ourselves to talk about. The real reality of confessing the things that people have done against us. And then thirdly, the one of forgiveness. Fourthly, bless those who have sinned against you. Now, this is not possible if we've not come to a place of forgiveness. If we've not allowed ourselves to actually move into a process of saying, God, I'm not just going to forgive, but I'm not going to keep the other person accountable to what they've done in the past. Are you with me this morning? This is a place where you and I say, God, I actually want to have a heart, a compassion and an understanding of what this person is going through. I actually want to see, God, what you've made this person to be. And why did things go wrong in their lives? Why are they at a place where they are responding the way that they are at this stage of their lives? Because blessing cannot happen if you and I don't start to impart grace to the person that we are keeping accountable for offenses in our lives. Are you with me this morning? But we need to speak life. We need to speak the kind of life that will allow us to come to healing. Number five, learn to communicate. Talk about your pain. So I've mentioned it. If you go through pain, make sure to speak to somebody that you trust. Because if you can trust that person, it means that you can talk to them about your issues and they will not use those issues as gossip material toward others. Are you with me? And all of us need that kind of person in our lives. Because this will allow us to get perspective on the things that is happening in our lives. And you know what? Sometimes we make issues about things that is actually so small, and we think it's the massive thing that's going to make our life fall apart. If I talk to Annemar, we've now taken her mobile from her for the next 2 weeks. Is that right, my wife? Is it a week? 2 weeks. Her world is falling apart. She thinks that we are the worst parents in this whole world. She thinks that this offense that she has against us now is not going to subside. There's certain things that she's holding against us, and we must help her now to work through this. Because sometimes in our lives, we are unreasonable about the offenses that we are picking up because we don't have detail, and our judgment is not that great after all. And I want to say to impart grace into people's lives means that you and I step down into their worlds and start to actually get a heart for them. So, yes, we did have that conversation with Anna, and she will be fine, so relax. Don't say the pastor is so cruel. But what I can tell you, this is an amazing opportunity for us in her life. Because, yes, we can see that there's things that we must also step into her life about. But there's a good reasoning about where this is going and the discipleship moments that it brings. And I want to say to you, the only way that you can forgive that person is to actually delve into their lives and the reason why they have done what they've done against you. And so, learn to communicate, talk about your pain. This is going to help you to get perspective. Don't be so easily offended. Let things become like water on a duck's back. You know, we as Christians must have a little bit more resilience when it comes to, offenses as well. You know, we so easily in this consumerist society, we are so easily offended because we have the right to do so. And I want to say to you, when it comes to agape love, people are actually allowed to offend you. Because you come to a place where you say, I will love you regardless of anything that you do against me. That is what Jesus demonstrated on the cross. You can spit me in my face. You can kill me. You can destroy me. You can kill my reputation. You can do anything you want, but I will love you till the end. I will lay down my life because I love you enough. And that's why I'm saying to you, because we have this consumerist culture within not just the world but in the church today, we're so easily offended because we've got rights. So people can offend, cannot offend us, and they don't have the right to do so. But I'm telling you, it's going to happen. And God says, we must enter into a place where we can bless them, where we can communicate to them the kind of blessings that God has over their lives. Don't follow the devil's thoughts. And don't make assumptions. Get to the truth. When people talk negatively about you, when there's certain things that offend you, go to the person. Don't take hearsay and conversations that is out of context to take offense. And then, number six, walk in your freedom. There's certain layers that God is going to deal with, and this is a process of healing that God wants us to enter into, that peels off when we have the conversation with God about our freedom. The fact that it's not going to happen all in once, but we must deal with it. And we must put pressure on ourselves to actually get to that place where we can get healing. Time does not heal. We must unfortunately put pressure on ourselves to deal with issues in our lives. The world will tell us time will heal. And I'm telling you this morning, if there's anyone that has offended you, it's time to get to them and to start the process of healing by even just a step of obedience. And allow God to pull down the layers where there's no expectation from your side, even for their counter performance, till you get to a place where you can discover yourself and your own pain that you must lay before God. God, I don't want to walk with this pain. I don't want to walk with this tie that I have toward this other person. And then number seven, die to self. God is greater than your offense. Be like Christ. Choose life. I want us to quickly watch a testimony of a girl that went through forgiveness. And then this morning, I want you to prepare your heart. While she's talking, I want you to prepare your heart through the things that I've mentioned now. So that when we enter into a time of worship, that this morning we will actually step into our freedom. Not being victims, but the victors that Christ has called us to be. You know, I see so many Christians living in victimhood because they're not dealing with issues. And this morning my desire is that God is going to bring healing in your life. Do we have that video clip? thing about technology is that it's letting us down, but we're going to watch the video. We're going to do a communion now as we wait for them to set it up quickly. And I want this morning, where's Laura? Can we just get some soft music in the background? The beauty of it is that this is a self-discovery. This is self-examination. I cannot help you to do that. Your small group leader cannot do that. We all pick up some stuff in our lives. And this morning, all that I'm asking you is to reflect. Is even if God just brings you to a place of an understanding, maybe it's something that you didn't even expect until now. Maybe it's a mother, a father that have let you down. It might be a brother even, sibling rivalry. It might be even a place of your boss at work. And maybe you don't even know that you've got offense with that person. I'm not this morning saying that you should have issues. I'm not saying this morning that you should have pain. But sometimes we don't reflect enough to allow ourselves to get over it. And all that God wants to do is softly touching our hearts at a place that it matters. A place where you can say, listen, can we get back to that conversation? Because actually your life is standing still, not growing. Because you're keeping that person so accountable to their mistakes that you forgot to examine yourself about the things that's going on in your life. And that's why I'm saying this morning, it's so important that you actually go and ask yourself, what do you expect that person to do? You really expect that person now to give up their life and to, you know, because that will be a good conversation to start with. Is that the enemy deceives us so much in our offenses that we are still stuck at a place where we are still pondering certain thoughts that the enemy brings in our lives. And all that I'm trusting for this morning is, let's not go on to any season any further if we don't come with clean hands and clean hearts.